Good morning. It's so good to be together this morning. Thank you for worshiping here at First Baptist, whether you're in the space or worshiping with us online from somewhere else. As you may have heard, today is kind of a big day. We'll be honoring and celebrating Paul's ministry among us and Stacy's too for the last 23 years. And then tomorrow, Paul officially retires. And today we're going to worship together and give thanks to God. I want to start by giving thanks to the choir. The Sanctuary Choir is wrapping up their program year today, and we're grateful for you, the section leaders, for Bonnie and Shanae, who's in Korea right now, and also we're grateful for Alice, who's been covering for her. We're grateful for the music you offer us as part of our worship of God. I have learned from the kids that taking pictures is an important part of commemorating the life of the church or the life of Tappan choirs. And so Bob and Bonnie had the skill of doing big group pictures, and we're going to have a big group picture today at the end of worship. Bob has this fancy setup. We're going to gather up here. The choir will be up here already for the postlude, and we're going to invite you to join them. You can be up on the top level or this middle level on the main floor. We'll do that right after the postlude to take a picture of all who are gathered today to commemorate this special time. So I promise to give clear directions when it comes to that moment. Thank you to Bob and Bonnie. And then after the photo, we'll head downstairs for a reception together to celebrate. We hope that you will join us down there. Pastor Paul usually is here at the hallway for a chance to greet him on your way out. He's going to head right downstairs for the reception, and so we invite you to greet him down there. And shortly after the reception starts, we'll gather our attention together to be able to give Paul and his family gifts. So we want you to know about that and hope you're able to join us through that. Thank you to all who helped plan that celebration. And then another thing that's happening today is that we have lots of youth that are going to church camp either this week or in a couple of weeks. And so we want to take a moment to just ask all kids and teenagers who are heading to camp sometime this summer, to church camp, would you go ahead, or any camp, go ahead and stand up? Any of you that are heading, many of you are heading off today, yeah, to church camp? Great. Would you all just extend your arm towards one of them? And would you repeat after me as we bless them? Go have fun.
Go have fun.
May you hear Jesus' voice of love.
We send you with love.
Many of them will be doing a line dance later this week. Would you all say yeehaw as our amen? At the count of three, a big yeehaw. One, two, three.
Yeehaw.
Awesome. Blessings on your time. Now, will you join me just inside the cover of your bulletin for our responsive call to worship? Come, worship the changeless God. Come, worship the ever-present God. Come, worship the wise and loving God. Come, worship and give thanks.
If you're able, please stand for the invocation. Let's pray. Loving and eternal God, in this hallowed place and at this poignant moment, we unite in turning to you, reaffirming our commitment to service and obedience. As we reflect on the past, our hearts are grateful for your constant presence, and we are thankful for the memories we share. As we now contemplate the future, our prayer is that as we walk with you beside the still waters, our hearts may be warmed by your love, our souls fortified by your grace, our minds informed by your wisdom, and our labors guided by your Spirit. It is in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, who died that we might live, that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
We're delighted and honored to have Reverend Ed Owens here joining us this morning. He is the Associate Regional Minister of our area in Michigan, of the American Baptist Churches Michigan, and so we invite him now to come forward. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, it truly is my privilege to be here for this special celebration of the ministry of Pastor Paul. And so I'd like to make a presentation on behalf of the American Baptist Churches of Michigan, and I'll read it to you what it says. The American Baptist Churches of Michigan recognize the valuable contribution of Dr. Paul Simpson Duke to the kingdom of God as he has provided pastoral leadership for the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor. He has faithfully served as co-pastor along with Stacy Simpson Duke since January 1st, 2001. We are grateful for their leadership impact on numerous lives over this span of time. As Reverend Duke retires from the pastorate, we pray for many fruitful years as he finds new ways to serve the Lord. And signed by Reverend Brian Johnson. Congratulations.
Book of Isaiah. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The word of the Lord.
Welcome, everybody. You find a spot? You can sit right there. It's good. You can sit right down. Right there is perfect. Good. Yeah. So great to have everybody here today. Good. Ivy's finding a spot. Ivy, can you find a spot right here next to... Perfect. Next to Penny. Mm-hmm. Great. Today is a special day. Today is a day where we celebrate with Pastor Paul all the years he has been serving as a pastor of our church family. It's 23 years. It's this many fingers. Watch. 10, 20, and then three more. Pastor Paul and Pastor Stacy were here for a very long time, and they have been able to be here with so many children and to watch so many children grow up here. We're so grateful for him, and we've been thinking about, I've been thinking about gardens. Did you notice that there's a plant here today? That's not usually there, is it? The plant, it's right there by Rob and Charlie. Huh. And then there's a whole bunch of other things by the plant. Do you see those other things? Yeah. Those are called bulbs. Can I tell you something about plants? I'm not, like, I don't know a lot about plants, but I know this thing, that when plants are really healthy and green and big, sometimes, to help them keep growing, you split them up, you say. You take it, the big plant, and you split it into two plants, and then you plant those plants, and they keep growing because they're in such a good place already. And it keeps growing and growing, and that happens with bulbs, too. Look at this bulb. What do you notice is happening here? Yeah. Yes. Ivy's thinking about planting things too. This bulb has two plants growing. And so I'm going to actually, if we were to plant this, we would want to have those grow so they can, ooh, that's kind of like splitting. Separating, we separate them, and then we would plant those in the ground. And look, this part is going to keep growing. Sometimes really healthy, good, green, growing plants and some bulbs that are just about to begin, grow in new places. Everything grows in new places. Today, we're going to celebrate that too. Pastor Paul is going to grow and be in new places. We're going to grow in new places too. So, we're going to talk some more about plants. And then, at the end, we're all going to get a bulb. But before we do that, I'm going to invite you to turn your bodies and face forward. And then I'm going to ask Miss Robbie and Pastor Paul to come forward up here by me. Paul, would you come up here right by Chris? Would you come sit by your son, Chris, and grandson? Great. And Robbie's going to come around. You'll see in your bulletins in an insert that we have a litany of celebration that calls us to new life. Would you find that in your bulletin a second? Henry, can I ask you to hold this for me? Thank you. So kids, you have an important part of this litany. A litany is some words we're going to use to send our love to bless Pastor Paul and to ask God to bless us too. So I'll tell you your part and you can repeat after me when we get there. So when a pastor leaves, it's like the separating of plants. The ground shifts and connections are exposed. We experience a sense of uprooting and replanting, discovering ourselves in new soil in which we can live and thrive. Old relationships are disturbed and change, and yet it is in the separation that new life keeps growing. For both plants and for us, for you, for all of those folks, for everybody at home. So now Pastor Paul's going to say some words, and then we're going to respond, and we'll do some back and forth. Congregation, I invite you to notice that you are the people. So when we get to the people line, will you just go ahead and read those lines together? All right.
As I leave, I am aware of how grateful I am for the privilege of being your pastor. Together we have shared life and death, growth and fallowness, laughter and tears, struggle and joy. These experiences will always remain with me. While the roots of our relationships are grounded in our faith, I recognize that, like rhizomes, we are separating and being planted in new ground. We will all continue to grow.
Kids, this is our part. Are you ready? Repeat after me. We are all growing. All right, people. We have been encouraged.
As I leave the pastorate of this congregation, I let go of the relationships that connected us in the community of worship and education. May God send you and another to inspire, grow, and challenge your faith.
Kiddos, it's our turn. Repeat after me. God is with us. As you leave us,
I accept your release from the joys and concerns of pastoral care for this congregation, and I pledge to continue my prayers, my prayerful support for you from a distance. I let go of that part of our relationship that required me to be called, needed, present, and included in your corporate and individual lives. May God fill those needs for us all by other means.
Kiddos, we're telling Paul, we're reminding Paul that God is with him. Can you say God is with you together? Let's say it. God is with you. It's our turn to say thank you now to Pastor Paul. Would you repeat after me? Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
We are grateful for your ministry. So kiddos, the plant behind Pastor Paul is going to go home with Pastor Paul so he remembers how much we love and care for him. The bulbs were shared with us from some friends on the west side of the state who had bulbs left to give because it's not bulb season, but we wanted bulbs here today. And so we reached out to them and they sent bulbs and we didn't know what they were and what they were going to be. And Paul said to me this week, "Well, what kind are they?" And I said, "Well, they're stargazer lilies." And he was overcome with some emotion, and he said, "Those are Pastor Stacy's favorite." So she is with us today. So kids, we are going to give this plant to Paul, and we're going to say, "Yes, we love you." Can you say it together? Here we go. "Yes, we love you."
I love you too. Our life together comes to a close, but we will continue to be united in purpose as we grow serving God in new ways. And now you're invited to come forward and take a bulb for your household. It's a symbol of your potential and your giftedness to the world. Plant it. And plant yourselves in the soil of God's love, allowing the Spirit to nurture you and to live anew. You're invited.
You're invited to come forward. The children are going to lead the way. And we actually get to all take a bulb, not per household. So you can each grab one on your way. I'll start with the kids, and then they'll head off to children's ministry together, and then the rest of you maybe come this way, get your bulbs, and then head back, and Alice will be playing music as we do that. All right, kiddos, let's grab your bulbs. You take one with you. Oh, you can have that one. Can you split it? Give one to the person. Here, take it. Take it.
Good. Will you pray with me? God of thresholds, God of blessed memories, God of new beginnings, the brightness of your love shines beyond all we can see or comprehend. Your goodness shimmers beneath the surface of everything we know. We can scarcely fathom the staggering scope of so much grace. In response, we lift our praise, our love, our lives, and we lift our prayers. Prayers for our troubled, war-torn world. Prayers for a nation unsure of itself, fearful of the future and of each other. Prayers for your good and precarious earth. Loving God, we pray for those who are without housing, for the hungry, for those in prison, for those who live with fear, shame, depression, addiction, hopelessness. We pray for those of us who are grieving. We pray for all who love people they feel they cannot help. We pray for ourselves, your church, that we might more faithfully embody the spirit of Jesus, who is friend to the friendless, who lived truth in the face of lies. Help us to be so bold. Forgive us. Redeem us. Lord, have mercy. Today we pray your special blessing on our brother Paul. Give him good rest and new freedom in his next phase of living. We pray, too, for Charlie. And we pray for Rob. Keep these beloveds in your tender and abiding care. We pray also for these whom we know to name. We pray for Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Mervyn Eucharts, David Gregg, Esther Floyd, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Melbourne, Peg and Joe Bradford, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Moorer, the McLeod family, Mike Kelly, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, John Rowe, and Faye Key. And we share silently the needs of our hearts. Gracious God, you are with us in every transition and change. You are ready to do more in and through us than we can ask or imagine. May we yield to your spirit and allow your power to work through us to do more good than we yet believe can be done. It is in this wild hope that we offer these prayers and the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
from Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
I have loved being your pastor. You are an honest-to-God church, and I'm proud to have been a partner with you for the gospel's sake. I love that you are spiritual, emotionally, intellectually, and relationally alert, that you care so deeply for one another, and that you walk the talk of God's love for the world, especially in how engaged you are with people who are homeless, with other people who are impoverished locally, or especially in Nicaragua beyond our town. And I love that this is a place where laughter happens so easily, and tears can also freely flow. Our banner biblical text is Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? And as far as I'm concerned, you're pretty much 3 for 3. It pleases me no end that one young woman who's been part of this faith family since she was born has tattooed Micah 6:8 on her ankle. We're not remotely close to perfect. As pastor, I've had a front row seat on what's off kilter, as well as what is glorious. I also know my own shortcomings as a pastor, and I wish I had done better. But in this place, grace abounds, doesn't it? And acceptance and encouragement abound here, which is how we get better. And I think we're getting better. Among my many mixed feelings today is some aching over the many who are gone from us now. This week, I looked at the current church directory, and by my count, only 30 people remain who were with us here when Stacy and I began. So many have died. So many have moved away. I see their faces still in this room. I'm so grateful for so many of them, the saints who gave their and shined their light here, and for now are gone, but whose light for some of us still shines. Mostly today, I am missing Stacy, of course, as I do every day. just as many of you still mourn for her. We were your pastors for 22 years because First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor was willing to call a married couple as co-pastors, and you have been supportive. You have even celebrated our ministry together all that time, and even still. Partnering with her was my joy. And when she became so sick for so long, you stood by both of us so steadfastly, astonishingly in your kindness and love. And in the way, since the nearly 16 months ago that she died, your prayerful, loving care for me and Charlie and Rob have been my strength. Haven't we all been through some hard times together? And the hard times were the holy times. And now we've arrived at another hard and holy time. And what in the world is a pastor supposed to say? Well, I'm going with a story. And yeah, I've told it before. When Fred Craddock, yes, him again, was a little boy in Appalachia, on one summer night, he and his father were out in the backyard. Little Fred was lying on his back, looking up at the stars. And his father said, "Son, how far can you think?" "Well, I don't know. What do you mean?" "Just think as far as you can, up toward the stars." Fred screwed down his imagination and said, I'm thinking as far as I can think." His father said, "Well, in your head, drive a stake down right there. Have you driven down the stake? That's how far you can think." The boy said, "Yes, sir." His father said, "Now, what's on the other side of that stake?" The boy said, "More sky." The father said, "Move your stake." And Fred said that they spent the rest of the evening looking up at the stars to see what they could further and further and further beyond. There are times in every life, times in the life of most churches, when the boundaries of our thinking will move to a further place or deeper place. That's what education is for. Good teachers are always saying in their way to their students, "Move your stake." It's what churches seek to do with the children and the teens, and in fact, with everybody here, encouraging spiritually, relationally, self-understanding, understanding of the world. Keep moving your stake. But that kind of thing doesn't always need an external prompt. At any time, a stirring suspicion can come that there is more for us to understand now and to do now, the sense that it is time and past time for taller dreams, a deeper spirit, a larger scope of concerns. And in fact, this is the never-ending project of our lives. We are here to move further towards maturity, to grow in the character generosity, compassion, devotion, and discernment, and the integrity of more authentic living. So imagine that you're doing something now a little bit like looking up at the night sky and seeing how far you might be able to think, to believe, to trust, to love. What's on the other side of that? Move your stake. I'm so pleased that on my very last Sunday here, there it is. You know, I do it for you. The Apostle Paul put all of this into a prayer. I pray that God may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being, that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, and that you be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that is about the tallest prayer I ever heard. To comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Why such a towering prayer for us? Because we are here for nothing less. What's the gospel for? Is it for the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our wounds, the heart to show more love in the world? Yes and yes and yes. But this is the barest beginning. The meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus isn't bound to the pale and sickly issue of our guilt, or of our woundedness, or even of our need to be more loving. It is instead for the towering issue of our high and holy purpose in this world, serving the needs and desires and the longings and commands of the God of all love. Grow into the depth and length and height and depth, and to live these enormities in our life together as we are led and empowered to do. It goes against the grain of our culture, which thrives on shallow perceptions and pursuits and values, shallow times, shallow commitments, shallow people. We marvel at how different people all are from each other without noticing how alike we are in being pretty much lacking in depth. And if we do aspire to be otherwise, to live by higher, deeper commitments of spirit and action, it's hard to keep that vision with all these losses piling up and the world breaking our hearts. But Christ still comes in tenderness to call us toward his greatness. And the Spirit is able to refresh us for it and infuse us with fresh energies and vision for it. This great Ephesian prayer from Paul ends with this wondrous benediction, which includes these words: "Now to the one who is able by the power at work among you to do far abundantly more than all we can think or imagine." So whatever happens to us, we make this vow that we will return to tending the fire of our soul, seeking the Spirit's help and each other's help, and looking toward higher concerns, digging deeper down for the greater love and the power, by God's help, to let our living give expression, real and better expression, to divine love. A world under assault is waiting for greatness of soul, for commitments, for communities, for churches of spiritual stature, for people of moral depth, for young people and old people who will live more and more toward the long commitment of faith, justice, joy, reconciliation, peace. It happens in people like you. Already it's been at work in our long, happy, sorrowing, outreaching journey together. And was at work long before any of us arrived on the scene. But you, by faith and obedience to love's command, you have come this far. And now you will go further. And this is my prayer for you: that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, and that the love of Christ dwell within you and among you. May you grow further and deeper into God's concerns for humankind, love and faith, justice and mercy, resurrection and life. Let this be what you know: that your life is miraculous, and it is brief, and it is brilliant with possibility. A holy calling is laid on your life. Now let the size of it get hold of you and never stop stretching you in all faithful directions. May the massive love of Christ dwell in your hearts, and the current borders of your understanding be blown away. And it will be so through the one who, by the power at work among us, is able to do far more abundantly than all we can think or even imagine. Amen. And now an opportunity, an open door within this hour to do as we always must do as part of our worship and obedience to love's command, to make gifts of ourselves, symbolized and extended by gifts of what we possess. We offer who we are, what we have, and whom the Spirit of God calls us to be. God of every good and perfect gift, you who are steadfastly present with us all our days, all that we have belongs to you. Bless now all of our past, all of our present, and all of our future, and all that we are still yet to give. To the glory of your name forever. Amen. now as blessed, redeemed, and liberated children of God. May we extend to each other the signs of reconciliation and peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. Today, the benediction I want to offer is the one that Stacy and I offered together for all those years as we walked up these aisles among you. Because it's a back and forth kind of benediction, I haven't done it since. But I decided today it's the most fitting benediction I can give, and you can pretend. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God give you grace to love the Lord your God with all your heart, that you may do justice. To love with all your soul, that you may love kindness. To love with all your mind, that you may walk humbly with your God. Friends, go from this hour to love the Lord your God with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Amen.